Well, I hope you're not tired of me yet. It's good to be with you again this evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be studying God's Word with you again. Me and Maggie have been very happy to be getting to know most of you. We've been very happy to be getting to talk with you and learn more about all of you. And as we go throughout the rest of this week, I look forward to getting to talk to some of you I haven't had a chance to yet and getting to know you even more. This week, as you already know, we're going to be talking about life in Babylon. We've already set up some groundwork yesterday. Yesterday morning, we talked about Babylon. We talked about the wickedness of the world that we live in. And yesterday evening, we talked about the conduct of the Christian. We talked about how we as Christians can survive in Babylon, how we should behave, how we should carry ourselves here in a wicked and sinful world. As we go throughout the rest of this week, as we go through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to be talking about some more specific problems. We're going to be talking about some specific issues, some specific trials that Christians face here in this wicked world, some specific troubles that we might come into contact with as we live our lives here in Babylon. One of my favorite stories, one of my favorite bits of history has to do with the Apollo 13 mission. If you know anything about the Apollo 13 mission, you know that it was part of the United States space race. They were trying to get into space, trying to get to the moon before Russia, before China, before all of these other countries. They wanted to be the first ones to get up there. They wanted to be the first ones to do it. And during one of these missions, during the Apollo 13 mission, something went terribly wrong. Something went terribly wrong. There was a malfunction. There was some kind of issue with a piece on the Apollo 13 spacecraft. And what we know of is that while this happened, there was a warning light and then a big bang. There was a big crash. Jim Lovell was one of the astronauts that was on the ship, was on this Apollo 13 mission, and he calls into Houston. And this quote from Jim Lovell often gets misquoted, but I like the misquote better than the real quote. He says, "Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem." It's a quote that you've probably heard in the movie that Tom Hanks was in. It's a quote you've probably heard a million times. Houston, we have a problem. In the United States today, around 73% of women under 40 have reported that they have watched pornography in the last 6 months. In the same time period, 98% of men in this same quartile have watched pornography. I don't know about all of you, but this sounds like a pretty big problem to me. This sounds like a pretty big problem. Pornography is something that we don't really like to talk about. It's an uncomfortable topic. It's a topic that is difficult to discuss, and it's something that we really don't like to deal with. Oftentimes we get skittish when talking about it. We don't really know what to say. We don't really know how to deal with it. But brothers and sisters, pornography is a problem. Pornography is a huge problem. Do you know that 55% of people ages 25 and older in the U.S. view pornography as wrong? 55% of people in the U.S. That means 45% of people in the U.S. 25 and older have no problem with pornography. They don't see it as wrong. They don't see it as sinful. They don't see anything about pornography that is an issue. They have no problem with it at all. So, people over 25 still have the majority saying that pornography is wrong. And so you might be saying, well, then is pornography really this big issue? Is this really a big problem here in the world today? Why don't you look at the numbers of young people that are under 25? 96%. 96% of people under 25 in the United States approve of pornography or have no problem with it. We have a problem. We have a problem in the world that we live in. We have a problem in Babylon. We have a problem here in the world. A problem with pornography. There are some that think that this is a problem that's just going to go away if we don't look at it, if we don't talk about it, if we don't think about it. Hear no evil, see no evil. They think that this problem is just going to go away if we pretend that it doesn't exist. And on the other side of the coin, there are those that see no issue with the problem of pornography. They think that there is nothing wrong with it. Neither of these approaches is correct. Neither of these approaches takes into account what Scripture has to say about the problem of lust, about the problem of sexual immorality, about the problem of pornography. Neither of these take that into account. If we're going to discuss the problem of pornography, brothers and sisters, we cannot pretend that it's something that's going to go away as long as we don't talk about it, as long as we pretend that it's not there. We also need to make sure that we understand that if we're going to deal with this problem, if we are going to fight this problem here in Babylon head on, we have to understand that it is a problem. We cannot pretend that it's okay. We cannot pretend that it is righteous. We cannot pretend that it is good, as much of the world today has decided to. We're going to be talking about the problem of pornography and how we as Christians can fight against it. How and why we as Christians need to have an understanding of the issue. How we as Christians can combat this scheme of the devil. This problem of pornography is one that has become widespread in the world around us. And the only way that the body of Christ is going to be able to overcome this issue, the only way that we as God's people are going to be able to overcome this issue, is if we understand it and we know how to equip ourselves to overcome it together. If we're going to fight this problem, if we are going to deal with this issue, we need to do it together. In unison, in harmony. The only way to defeat this temptation and this ploy of the devil is if we find ourselves all standing in a like mind against it, with a singular desire to work through this problem with confidence, with a righteous heart, and with compassion. When we discuss this problem, the problem of pornography, we need to establish a few things. There are a few things that we need to understand about the problem of pornography. And the first one is one that I've mentioned already. The first one that we need to understand is that pornography is a real and present problem. Here in Babylon, the problem of pornography is not just made up. It's not a red herring. It's not something that we can afford to forget about, that we can afford to act like doesn't exist. This is a real and present problem in the world. This is a real and present problem in the place that we live. If you've tricked yourself into thinking that no one in the real world deals with this problem, you're wrong. If you've tricked yourself into thinking, well, those numbers don't represent us, those numbers don't represent the people where I live, you're wrong. This is a problem that is widespread in this world. And it's a problem that, I'll grant, mostly affects men, but we saw the numbers a second ago. Also affects women, and that brings us to the second thing we need to understand before we get into this. We need to understand, we need to be clear about the fact that this affects men and women alike. Pornography has been watched over the past 6 months by 98% of men, by 73% of women. Though this is a problem that affects men more than it affects women, this is a problem that affects both genders alike. Even if you are a woman that has never watched pornography, even if you are a woman that has never seen it in your life, you probably know a man that has. You've probably been affected by it. And if you are a man that hasn't watched pornography, hasn't partaken in that, then you probably know a man or a woman that has. This problem affects all of us. This problem is not one that is limited to just men. Traditionally, that's what you've heard. Men are visual creatures. They deal with this problem more. And they do deal with it more. But this is a problem for women too. We need to understand that. We need to understand that this is a problem for all of us, for all of God's people. There's one other thing that we need to understand. There's one other premise that we need to get behind, that we need to get into our heads, and that is that this problem of pornography affects real people. We've been talking about a lot of numbers. We talked about 73%. We talked about 98%. But those numbers represent real people. Those numbers represent real people with real living souls. This problem is not a problem that affects numbers. This is a problem that affects the souls and bodies of men and women throughout the world. Real people, flesh and blood. These aren't just numbers. These aren't just figures. These are real people. We need to understand that. We need to be clear about the fact that pornography is a real and present problem, a problem that affects all of us, and a problem that affects human beings with eternal souls. Real people with eternal souls. I want you to keep all of these things in mind as we go throughout the rest of this sermon, as we go throughout the rest of this study. I need you to understand that as we're dealing with this problem of pornography, there are real people that are struggling. There are real men and women that need help. There are real men and women that need to be equipped to deal with this evil. I want you to keep those things in mind as we move on. And as we move on, we need to understand something. We need to understand why pornography is a problem. I mean, 98% of men are watching it. 73% of women are watching it. We have 96% of people that are under 25 are saying that pornography is not an issue at all. So why should we believe that pornography is a problem if it has become so widespread in its use? Why should we believe that it's a problem? Why should we protect our children from it? Why should we protect our grandchildren from it? Why should we protect ourselves from it? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be going to chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, gives us a great answer to this question. It tells us exactly why pornography is a problem. It tells us exactly why we should be against it. Starting in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it reads, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." It is the will of God, the will of the Father, the will of the one who created all things, that we abstain from sexual immorality. That is what He has purposed for us. That is what He desires for us to do. And He, as the Creator, is the one that has the license, has the authority to demand that we abstain from these things. We're meant to be separate. We're meant to be apart from the world. We talked about that yesterday. We are meant to be different. And the world at large sees no problem with pornography. Sees no problem with watching videos, looking at pictures of naked men and women. They indulge in their lust, seeing no problem with it, no issue at all with it. But we who are Christians, we who know the will of God, we are called to a higher standard. We know that that is not what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to indulge in lust. He doesn't want us to indulge in the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to keep as far away from it as possible. Why is porn a problem? Because it is sexual immorality. It is lust of the eyes. It is lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, tells us even more about this. Tells us what this problem does. Tells us what the problem of pornography does to the Christian, does to any person that engages in it. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, tells us the consequence for indulging in these lusts. It tells us what the profit of engaging in sexual immorality is. It starts in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The profit of indulging in sexual immorality, the profit of indulging in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and in this case specifically, the problem of indulging in pornography, the profit of all of that is really no profit at all. The only thing that you gain from indulging in these things, the only thing that you get out of doing something like watching pornography, is the loss of your salvation. There is no mistake. There is nothing that can get around that. If you indulge in those things, if you see no problem with them, you are risking, you are gambling with your eternal soul. and you're going to lose that gamble. Pornography is dangerous, and it is most certainly a lust of the flesh and a habit of the sexually immoral that leads to destruction. Galatians 5 and verse 16, just a few verses up, tells us that we must walk by spirit. And if we do, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what we should be doing. Instead of indulging in the ways of the flesh, instead of indulging in sexual immorality, instead of indulging in pornography, Christians should be walking in the way of the Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we see another passage that talks about this. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world." The desire or the lust of the flesh, that is from the world, that is from wickedness, that is from Satan. That is a Babylonian thing. That is not a Christian thing. That is not something that comes from God. It is not from Him, but it is from the world. This desire or lust of the flesh is very clearly something that applies to pornography, brothers and sisters. It is lust of the flesh. It is lust of the eyes. There is no question that pornography falls under the umbrella of sexual immorality. This passage makes it exceedingly clear that it comes not from God, but from man. It comes from the wicked hearts of the sinful. It is not righteous. It is not just. People in the world will try to tell you that it is good for you, that it's healthy to experiment with your sexuality. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie, plain and simple. It is not. There is nothing good for us in it. It is a wicked and vile thing that has come from the world and the sinful and wicked people in it. There's another reason that pornography is a problem. And that's because it wages war on our souls. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11, tells us that sexual immorality, the lusts of the flesh, are terrible and destructive things, not just for our bodies, not just for who we are, but also for our souls. They wage war on our souls. It says it ravages our souls. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, this is verse 11, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. And I want you to think about warfare in this time. Warfare in the time of the New Testament was warfare that would have been waged in a different way than it is now. Back then, when you wanted to fight against a country, when you wanted to wage war against someone, you didn't just fight against their soldiers, you didn't just kill their soldiers, you burned their crops, you destroyed their homes, you destroyed their temples, you razed everything to the ground. That is the image we're supposed to get in this verse. Sexual immorality, the lust of the flesh, they don't just seek to kill you. They seek to destroy everything that you hold dear. Raising it, burning it to the ground, eviscerating it completely until there is nothing left. Pornography is waging war against the soul of the believer that partakes in it. It is making an effort to pillage, to burn, and to destroy all that is good in the heart of the Christian. We cannot allow that to happen. Brothers and sisters, we cannot allow that to happen. We cannot allow anything, much less something as fleeting and meaningless as pornography, to destroy our eternal souls, to wage war on our eternal spirits. We cannot allow that. Pornography is much like alcohol. It's much like drugs. It's much like sex. It sparkles in the cup. It looks good on the outside, but it burns. It bites on the way down. Pornography may look appealing on the surface, and they take a lot of care to make it that way. They put pounds of makeup on these people. They digitally edit them. They put lights all over so that they can look even better. They have camera angles. They have camera editing so that they can do all of these things to make it look even more appealing. They want to draw you in through the lust of the eyes. They want to draw you in. They want to sell you a product. They are trying to draw you in by the eyes, making the most appealing product that they can. But what they don't tell you is that their product destroys lives. Their product destroys marriages. Their product destroys souls. It can cause performance issues. It can cause addiction. It can cause drained libido. It drains people's finances. And it causes immoral sexual attraction. It causes all sorts of destructive things. And worst of all, it destroys souls. Brothers and sisters, we cannot fall into the trap that many have in believing that pornography is not a big deal. It is a problem. Because it promotes sexual immorality, it promotes lust, it destroys the Christian's body, and it destroys the Christian's soul. Pornography is a problem. It is a huge deal to God. It is a huge deal to God that we abstain from sexual immorality, that we abstain from things like pornography. It is a huge deal to the Father. And for us as people who are supposed to be of like mind with Him, us as people who are supposed to be servants of Him, it should be a huge deal to us as well. It should be a big deal for us. 1 John chapter 3 tells us even more about what this problem of sexual immorality does to us. What this problem of pornography does to the Christian. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 4, it reads, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And no one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." We cannot call ourselves Christians. We cannot proclaim to be the children of God, the people of God, if we continue to live in sin. If we don't put pornography in its proper place, recognizing it as a wicked and sinful thing, abstaining from it, pushing it away from us, getting it out of our lives, then we are deceiving ourselves and we are deceiving everyone whom we proclaim to be a Christian to. If you proclaim to be a Christian, yet you continue to live in sin, you are lying to everybody that you teach the gospel to. Pornography is sinful, and partaking in it is sinful. Full stop. No excuses. No, well, I'm young and I just can't control myself. Not an excuse. Well, I just have a high libido. I can't control it. Not an excuse. There are no excuses for the problem of pornography, for engaging in that problem. The world around us would have us believe that it is natural, it is normal, it is acceptable to partake in pornography. But brothers and sisters, after reading these passages, there is no way that you can see this as anything other than unnatural, as anything other than a work of Satan, the one who seeks to eat and burn and destroy our souls. Pornography destroys lives, it destroys bodies, and it destroys minds and souls. So we need to take heed of what Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. We need to listen to what he has to say. He gives them a specific command. He tells them in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, he tells them, "Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." We have to flee from sexual immorality, flee from lust, flee from pornography. And why? Because it is a sin not only against God, but against our own body. When we partake in pornography, we aren't just hurting God. We aren't just hurting our brothers and sisters. We aren't just hurting our husbands or wives. We aren't just hurting our children. We are hurting ourselves. If you saw somebody, or if you yourself, were to harm yourself, were to cut yourself, were to harm yourself in any other way, no one would be saying, "Oh, that's great. Go ahead. Go keep doing that." No one would say that. No one would think that. But when it comes to pornography, the world is more than happy to tell you to keep harming yourself. The world is more than happy to tell you that you need to keep doing what you're doing because you are on the right track. The world is content to let you keep harming yourself, but God is not. God wants you to flee from what destroys the body. Flee from what destroys the soul. When woman partakes in pornography, they are not just hurting themselves, they are hurting God, they are hurting others, but most importantly, they are hurting their souls. They are breaking their souls down. And so we as Christians, we must run from this sin. We must stop hurting ourselves. We must help our brothers who might be hurting themselves to run from this sin, to get away from it before they are caught up and destroyed by it. But how do we fight this temptation? How do we fight pornography? How do we help others fight pornography? How do we do that? How do we do that? We're here in Babylon, in a place that is continually filled with evil. We're sitting here in a place that is continually filled with pornography, with sexual immorality, and with the lust of the flesh and the eyes. How do we deal with this problem that has become so widespread, that is so massive, that is so seemingly indomitable? Well, it certainly starts with the individual, but it doesn't end there. It starts with the individual. The individual Christian has to take what we've learned tonight, has to take what they've learned in their own reading, and they have to apply it. If pornography is to be understood as something that is wicked in the sight of the Lord, something that's evil, something that's sinful, then that should be enough for the Christian to decide that that is not something that they should be doing. That is something that they should endeavor to put away. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse 37, the psalmist, he asks for something particular. He asks for the strength to turn and look away from worthless things. And as Christians, we have to seek to do the same. What else is pornography but a worthless thing? In understanding that pornography is wicked, evil, and most of all, worthless, we need to seek to turn away from it. If we're going to keep ourselves pure, if we're going to keep ourselves clean, if we are going to be spotless in the sight of God, then we must endeavor to turn away. We must recognize the sin of this world and we must put it in its proper place. And to those struggling with porn, it may be that you recognize that you have a problem. Maybe you recognize that pornography is not something that you should be partaking in, not something that you should be looking at. But you struggle with putting it away. You struggle with overcoming this issue. It might seem as though this problem is insurmountable. It might seem as though you have no way out. But brothers and sisters, if you are dealing with this problem, there is hope. There is hope. The good news is that you are not powerless. You are not powerless, and you've already made the first step. If you recognize that sin is wicked, if you recognize that pornography is wicked and harmful to you, then you have made the first step. And it can often be easier said than done when it comes to putting things away, such as porn, especially when porn is something that can very easily become an addiction, but you have made the first step. So how can you do this? Man or woman, how can you take steps to overcome the temptation of pornography after you've recognized its true nature? The first step to that comes, as we've already read in Psalm 119 and verse 37, the first step to doing that comes by resolving to make a change. You have to resolve to change, to put this away. You can't just recognize that something is a problem. I can go outside, I can see the pipes leaking all over my yard, drowning my plants, and I can say, oh, that's a problem. But if I don't do anything, my yard's going to flood. If I walk outside and I see a rattlesnake right in front of me and I say, oh, that's a problem, and I keep walking into the path of the rattlesnake, what does that do? That doesn't help me. You can recognize that pornography is sinful. You can recognize that pornography is a problem all that you want. But until you resolve to make a change, as the psalmist does here in Psalm 119, you have not even begun to fight. You have not even begun to fight. Upon choosing to see this sin for what it really is, upon choosing to see pornography for what it really is, and upon resolving to make a change, you've got to make some steps. You've got to make some concrete steps to overcoming it. Maybe that's putting up internet blockers on your phone, on your computer. Maybe that's limiting your time alone, outside, away from the prying eyes of others. Maybe that's limiting your time with the internet. Maybe you got to get rid of your computer, your tablet, your phone altogether. And if you think you can't live without a phone, there's a guy up in Rogers. He went 60 years without a phone, and he's just fine. All right? I promise you, you can do it. I promise you, you can do it. But seriously, if you don't resolve to make a change, if you don't take concrete steps to fix the problem, if you don't take concrete steps to overcome the issue of pornography, you'll still be at square one. You'll just be stuck sitting there, floundering and struggling to keep your head above the murky waters of sin. You cannot end a battle that you haven't even started. For some people, that's all it takes. For some people, all that they have to do is resolve to make a change. For some people, all they have to do is recognize that this is a problem. When I was in high school, when I was in college, alcohol, drugs were not even a thing to me. Just wasn't a temptation. For some people, that's how porn is. It's never a temptation. It's never something that they even consider engaging in. And that's great. That's great. For some people, all they have to do is resolve to make a change. All they have to do is take some concrete steps, and that sin has been overcome. And that's great. But some people require a little more. And if that's you, for those people, I would encourage you, if recognizing the sin of pornography, if resolving to change isn't enough for you, then I would encourage you to bring this problem to the Lord. Bring this problem to the Lord, just as we would bring any problem to the Lord. And even if you are capable of overcoming this sin, even if you are able to recognize this as sin and you overcome it easily, without much effort, then you should still bring this problem. You should still ask for strength and for courage. But especially if you have problems breaking this sin, if you have problems breaking pornography, then you need to be praying to the Lord. Pornography, as I mentioned earlier, can be a very, very difficult sin to break. An addiction to it is even more difficult to break. There have been numerous scientific studies that have demonstrated that pornography is just as addictive as alcohol, is just as addictive as drugs. This is not some kind of game. For some people, this is a very real problem. It can be very difficult to overcome. But there is hope. There is hope, as evidenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, because this shows us just how much care, just how much regard for His people the Lord has. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, it reads, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." There have been plenty of people that have been through this before. You're not the only one. Carrying on, God is faithful. We talked about that last night. God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This verse should give us confidence, should give us hope. That no matter what sin it is that we struggle with, we can overcome it through the grace and the strength of our Lord. We are not alone. We are not fighting this battle by ourselves. God is our strength and our fortress, and He will help us overcome our temptations. He will help us fight through our struggles, no matter how difficult they may be. He did not leave His people in Israel alone when they went into captivity. He has not left us alone now, and He never will. We are not fighting alone. We need to have humility, though. We need to recognize that we cannot do it by ourselves. And we need to ask God for strength. This passage tells us that God will provide the way of escape, a way out of temptation. And to some struggling with pornography, they have got to humble themselves. For all struggling with pornography, they have got to humble themselves and come to God and ask for strength. To some that are still struggling with the problem, though, they may be wondering how to escape. They may be wondering how they can get out of this sin. They may be praying. They may be begging God for help and yet still finding themselves struggling with pornography. They may be still wrestling with this day and night, no matter how much they pray, no matter how much they ask God for His help. They still find themselves struggling with pornography no matter how much they cry out to Him. I think that perhaps the reason that this might be the case is that we fail to pay attention to the answer that God's already given us, to the resources that God has already given us. Sometimes we fail to recognize the ways in which God grants us strength. For some people, their struggle with pornography may only require conviction and a desire to stop. For some, they may need the brethren that God has blessed us with to overcome. When we ask God for strength, perhaps His answer, perhaps the strength that He has given you is in the members that are here in this building. There are people in this building that want your good. They want you to be righteous. They want you to seek after the Lord. Perhaps the people that you see in this room are the ones that are the strength that God has given you. When we pray to God and we ask for the strength to overcome, perhaps we fail to recognize that He has given us strength in a body of believers that is upwards of 100 here in this room alone. Not to mention all of the Christians that are throughout the country. Not to mention all of the Christians that live throughout the world. We've been given an asset by God and the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have. And part of the reason that we have these brothers and sisters is so that we don't face temptation, so that we don't face trials, so that we don't face problems like the sin of pornography alone. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 is a simple passage, but it is filled with so much meaning. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have a blessing with our brothers and sisters. We have a group of believers who are able to help one another, who are able to share in one another's burdens. If you struggle with pornography, you have a body of believers here that want to help you, who love you, who want to be there for you, who want to see you succeed and walk the path of righteousness. This is where that togetherness that we talked about earlier comes into play. This is where that increase in the number of the body of the people of the Lord that we talked about yesterday comes into play. For the one struggling, you need to humble yourself. You need to steel your gut. Coming to others and admitting that you have a problem is a lot harder than admitting that you have a problem to yourself. Coming to someone else and saying, I need help, is a lot harder than recognizing in your own head that you need help. But that might be the one thing that can help you overcome this problem. It's scary. It's scary to come to others and ask them for help because some people, especially with a problem such as pornography that is so touchy, that is so difficult, that is so foreign to some of us, we can be scared of how people might react. I won't lie to you, there are going to be some people who, when they hear of a brother or sister struggling with porn, there are going to be some people that will shun, abandon, or be disgusted. There are going to be some people who treat those who struggle with pornography as though they are broken, as though they are wicked, as though they are evil, as though they are lost. If you're somebody that struggles with pornography and you come to somebody and they react in that way, they treat you as broken, they treat you like trash, they abandon or shun you, they are wrong for that. I wanted that to be very, very clear. Brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to watch out for those around us, to watch out for the Lord's people. And anyone that would shun or abandon a brother or sister in need is wrong. Plain and simple. Shame on the one who reacts in that way. Shame on them. They are wicked, they are hard of heart, and God will judge them, and I believe He'll judge them harshly for that. If you encounter that, or if you ever have encountered that, I want you to know that you're not broken. You're not foul. You're not disgusting. You are not beyond saving. You are a child of God with an eternal soul that has taken a wrong step, that needs to be corrected, that can come back to the grace of God. You are a beloved child. You are the lost sheep that God will leave the pen to seek after. You are not broken. You are not vile. You are not disgusting. Even though a potential reaction might scare you, Even though a negative reaction might terrify you, brother, sister, if you are dealing with this problem, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you to have hope, have faith that the Father has placed you amongst a body of believers that will not have a negative reaction. I want you to have hope. I want you to have faith that the Father has placed you where you need to be to overcome this temptation, has placed you in a body of believers that seeks for your good, that wants you to overcome this temptation, that wants you to overcome this sin. It may be difficult, but if you're struggling, you are not struggling alone. Come to your brother. Come to your sister. Maybe you need to come in front of the congregation. Maybe you need to come and talk to the elders. Maybe you need to come talk to me. Maybe you need to come talk to your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father. Maybe you need to come talk to somebody. And if that's the case, I encourage you to. Because God has given us a church family for occasions such as that. For when we need help. For when we need support. So if that's you, I encourage you to take advantage of that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 expands on this a little more. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 reads, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And with this passage, I want to give both those struggling with pornography and those who have not struggled or never will with an admonition and with a warning. If you struggle with pornography, you have brothers who are there and who are equipped. You don't just have brothers there that don't know what's going on. You have brothers there who are equipped to help you when you're in dire need. You need to set aside your pride, you need to set aside your fears, and you need to take advantage of them. Not in the negative sense. And to those who don't struggle with pornography, those who might never struggle with pornography, if you see a brother struggling with this, if someone comes to you, a brother or a sister comes to you and says, "I need help, I am struggling with pornography," and you have the resources, you have the time, you have the ability, you have the knowledge and the wisdom to help them, and you don't, you are to be pitied amongst all people. We need to be the kind of people that help our brothers and sisters. We need to be the kind of people that are there for our brothers and sisters. If you see or hear of a brother struggling with this problem, you see or hear of a sister struggling with this problem, and you choose to leave them out in the cold, choose to shun them, or choose to otherwise abandon them, then you're not doing what God has called you to do. I feel strongly that there is nobody here that would react like that. But I give this warning so that you don't become people that react like that. So that you don't grow hard-hearted and become like that one day. That you don't become like the one who abandons his brother in their time of need. Because I promise you, the one who abandons his brother in his time of need will be abandoned by God on the judgment day. Scripture teaches that. That the one who abandons, who fails to live up to his responsibility, is not one of God's people. That being said, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one other line of support that God has offered his people in dealing with this problem. All blessings and all human knowledge flow from God, and I wholeheartedly believe that people struggling with heavy pornography usage, heavy addiction to pornography, can benefit from seeing a mental health professional. For some people, this is a necessity. There are deep-rooted issues that can cause addiction to pornography, and some people need to see a psychologist in order to work through these traumas. Pornography addiction can often be caused by childhood traumas, and in many cases it is caused by childhood traumas. And working through those with a doctor can be immensely helpful. Supplementing your trust in God, your prayers to God, your work with the brethren, adding on to that, seeing a mental health professional can help you. This is a plan. This is what God has given to us. The ability to work through these problems both spiritually and physically. This is not a shameful thing. Some people need to see a doctor about these things. There'd be no shame in seeing a doctor for a broken leg. If I fell off the stage right now and I broke my leg, would any of you look on me negatively? Would any of you be ashamed of me for going to see a doctor? No, that's ridiculous. So there should be no shame in going to see a doctor to help mend a broken heart. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17 discusses this. Talks about using God-given resources. On hearing this, Jesus said to them in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is talking about himself coming to heal those who are broken. He is coming to heal those who are sick. The sick need a physician. We need to seek after Christ. And we can also seek after a doctor too if we need it. Because the sick need doctors. In closing, I want to help us put something in perspective. Pornography is a massive, widespread issue in the world today. In Babylon, this is a problem that is almost all-encompassing. And you might wonder why I chose to speak specifically on pornography and not sexual immorality, and there is a reason for that. It is because pornography is what is influencing much of the sexual immorality you see in the world around us. What you see in the world around us stems, in many cases, from the problem of pornography, homosexuality, transgenderism, all kinds of illicit sexual relationships, all kinds of adultery, all kinds of infidelity, all kinds of sex before marriage, all kinds of things like this are emphasized and made worse by pornography. People see fantasies. People see wicked and dark things in pornography that are not true to real life, that are not true to God's design. And pornography is making this worse, is causing the world to be a much darker place. That's why we need to fight so hard against this widespread issue. This issue that is so wide, though, this issue that is so massive, that is so all-encompassing, is small to God. This issue is small to God. Our God is greater and better than any and all sin. Nothing is new under the sun. There is nothing that He has not dealt with before that He cannot deal with now. There is nothing that He cannot handle. There is nothing that Satan can throw at God. There is nothing that Satan can throw at God's people that we cannot handle. With God, with our Father who grants us strength, who grants us grace, who grants us mercy, we can handle anything that the deceiver tries to throw our way. There are going to be times when some members of the body struggle with pornography. There are going to be those times. For some, it may be temporary. For others, it may be a lifelong battle. But all of us can appreciate that God will be there for us. He will be there for those of us who are dealing with this sin. He will be there for those of us who are trying to help our brother or sister. Pornography is not any worse or any better than any other sin. We all struggle with something, and we all will until the day that we die. But we have a hope in a Father that can grant us relief, that can grant us strength. He is the aloe on a sunburned day. He is the one that can give us relief when we most desperately need it. I was at rugby practice the other night, and I heard this story. We were doing some running, and one of my friends, he tells me that he saw this man in his neighborhood. This man was in his 70s, 80s. He's getting up there and he was still outside every night running. Still outside running. And so my friend asked his neighbor, he said, "When does running get easier? When does running get easier?" And this man, he says, "Oh, it never gets easier. You just get stronger. You go further. You go faster. Your body will still ache, you'll still have to push yourself, but you will find that you have the strength to finish and finish strong the more that you push yourself." Isn't that true of the life that we live now? This life never really gets easier. There's some new source of deceit, there's some new source of sin and wickedness that comes up just about every day. But we are given strength from an unending source. We are given strength and grace and mercy from an unending well. Our Father can handle anything that comes our way. It's never going to get much easier, but we'll get stronger. And we'll be able, with our Father's help, to handle it all. Sin is always pursuing us, always making our lives difficult. We're always going to face temptation. But through the testing of our faith, through the perseverance of our faith, through the strength that God gives, whether it be from His own hand or from His people, We will find ourselves equipped to finish the race and to finish the race strong. James chapter 1, turn there with me. This is the last passage we'll read and the lesson will be yours. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking in nothing. Pornography is a strong source of wickedness and temptation, but it is not stronger than our God. It is not stronger than His people. And if we stand together as one body against it, if we seek to fight against the problem of pornography, both in the church and in the world around us, in Babylon around us, we will not only make ourselves better, we will not only make our brothers and sisters better, but we will make the world better for showing Christ's light. For showing that pornography is a wicked and sinful thing that destroys, and God is a righteous and good God that builds up. Our responsibility as it pertains to the problem of pornography is to fight the good fight. To bring others to an understanding of the Lord and His righteousness. We've got a charge, don't we? To increase and not decrease as we live here in Babylon. One of the best ways that we can do that is by snatching those in Babylon out of the fire, out of the wickedness of pornography. If you're struggling with this problem, know that you are loved. Know that we want to see you come back and be perfected, be completed by Christ. Know that we will fight for you. And if you are someone that has never been a member of the Lord's church, if you're someone that does not have brothers or sisters to rely on yet, we're ready to open our arms to you. If you need help with either of those things, why don't you come forward as we stand and as we sing.